A big hello to fellow teachers. Welcome to the Eduwell podcast, a show created for teachers, by teachers, with teachers. I'm Alex Bush.
And I'm Chelsea Henderson. With over 30 years of combined teaching experience, we're here to help you find balance in your professional and personal lives.
Join us as we dive into a well of information, exploring insights, strategies, and practical tips that you can apply both within and beyond your classroom.
So whether you're new to teaching or a seasoned expert, this podcast is for you. Let's be well
and do well
together.
Hey teachers, any chance you want to be way more productive without having to read through tons of manuals and going to long PD just to extrapolate little bits of nuggets of information that you just might be able to use? What about you, Chels?
That's what I live for.
Yeah, me too.
Cut it down.
Cut it down.
Give me the info fast.
Simple, easy, tangible, get it done.
Exactly. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to get really specific about those small, little, tiny, teeny steps that you can take to make things that much more efficient, something that will equal big results at home. Small habits that give you big results.
Let's do it. Welcome back to Eduwell, everyone. In our last episode, we talked about how including movement into our lives can enrich our overall wellness now and in the future. We also talked a little bit about starting new habits through small actions. Now, there are many actions that we take in our home lives that can make things run more smoothly. So let's dive into the well and pull them out, Alex.
All right. I think you should start. And I have a feeling I know right now where you're going to go.
I'm going to repeat it again. The first action to take is movement and to always have that movement in your life. Incorporating movement into my life is a habit that helps me with cultivating energy, positivity, productivity, and focus. So let's keep doing it.
Okay, so I'm hearing it and I'm hearing it and I'm hearing it and I'm hoping that that is motivating me. When we're done the podcast today, I'm going to stick to my scheduled gym date just because of hearing it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Appreciate that.
Well done.
All right. The second one we're going to chit-chat about is the importance of and putting time into relationships with family and friends. So in the same way that we talked about the time that we put into the classroom community and that we spend with our students, where there's no pressure, it's really nice to also do that with the people that we really know and care about. So just hanging out without necessarily having to be somewhere, do something, have an event, and just to be. So I think it's essential to remember that family and friends hopefully are going to be around well after you are done your career. So work is work, but our classes change and flow and our work situations also change and flow. But friends and family are hopefully this constant in our lives that we get to enjoy, you know, well after our careers are over. So sometimes I know I over-nurture work. How about you, Chels?
Absolutely. I certainly do. And it takes a lot out of me. And I have to realize that and then bring it back to family life.
Right. And then you under-nurture, you know, the other areas of your life.
Right.
And so I'm hoping to throw out some ideas of things that we can do to nurture the relationships in our life. So sending out those texts to say hello. And kind of funny, we just talked the other day about reemerging from report card
right.
time. And that's one of the first things that we do. Like receiving a text from someone that you care about is very meaningful. I know I appreciate it. And I like to send that love out too. Sometimes I'll just share a playlist to someone of a time in our lives that we've both enjoyed. And the big idea here is nurturing and building those relationships and support systems that you have to support others. And hopefully friends support you too. I like to do things like going through things, and I like to hand things down that I know people will appreciate. Or I've just started baking and some people are listening and laughing right now, my family, because I'm not really good at it yet. But I will bring, you know, a treat to someone. I love making phone calls. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Good for you. A lot of people don't do that nowadays.
I know they don't. And it makes me really sad. I really enjoy talking on the phone. But those are some things that, you know, I do to strengthen bonds and nurture relationships. You throw me a few, because I mean, I definitely wouldn't mind some help in this area.
Those are really great things to do. And they're not strenuous, right? They're just small actions that you're taking to strengthen your relationships. And I want to say that I do like getting phone calls from you. It's nice. You know?
Thanks.
I don't get a lot of phone calls. So when I see your name on the screen, I'm like, yay, I have a phone call. So it's exciting. So what you're doing is working. And also what you're doing is describing that there's an intentionality of just ensuring that you're taking these little actions to sustain those very significant relationships in your life. Now, I'm just going to give you one specific thing that I do
okay.
that helps in my life with my family. I think it's helping anyway. So I put into place a few years ago something called freeze and focus. That's what I call it.
You love alliteration.
I really do love alliteration. It's like one of my favorite
freeze
things.
And focus.
Okay. So if one of my immediate family members needs to speak with me, I'm going to use my kids as a specific example. I will stop what I'm doing. And no, I don't do this all the time, okay? Because if either of them were listening to this right now, they would be like, no, you do not stop what you're doing all the time. But I make a point of doing it, you know, as much as I can. I'm going to bring up the phone example. If I'm on my phone and they need to talk to me, I will put it down most of the time, okay? Yeah. Ultimately, it's the best if it is out of sight, but sometimes I will just put it down and away and focus on what they are saying to me. And this hit home with me when I watched a video by Simon Sinek, who I really admire all of the advice that he gives, where he said that if you have your phone in front of you and someone is talking to you, you're saying to them, my phone is more important than you. If you're out for dinner with someone and you even have your phone on the table, you're still kind of saying, this is important to me right now. So you know what? We do that with our friends. You and I are doing it right now. We have our phones near us.
Yeah,
we know my phone is not more important than you or this conversation that we're having on the podcast right now. But we really have to, I think about that in certain situations. So for me, the most important situations would be in my conversations with my children. I freeze and I focus and I feel like that lets them know that what they're saying to me is important. And I think that that is very helpful going forward, obviously, in our relationship.
Right. And it's about matching your values to your actions. And so if you know, if I said, who are the most important people in your life? I'm going to guess you're going to say your family. And yet you're, you know, allowing everybody else in with the phone. So another way that I think about that, the freeze and focus, is kind of planned, deliberate chunks of time whereby you freeze and focus. So dedicating, you know, 1 or 2 hours every single day where you are fully intentional in that one relationship and listening fully. Because then once you do have to be in a distractible moment and you have work to do or whatnot, you know, as a parent or as a friend, that you did put that time and effort into that one single person or into that one family. And then you can feel okay with the other things that you still have to do, because life continues on and, you know, everything can't just be about the kids all the time.
Fully agreed.
So I'm going to throw out another beautiful alliteration. And I looked up one of the words in this alliteration. It's called keep or kibosh. And I thought, oh, kibosh, that must be Yiddish. And it's not. The history of the word, they're not 100% sure where it comes from, but there's some like reference to Ireland. And the first time that it was used, I think, was 1800s. It's a relatively new word. But I use the word kibosh all the time. And it means stop doing, like cut it out. Kibosh that behavior.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
So, okay.
But I hope it means that, because I was going to look it up too, but
I didn't. Well, I thought I better, because when it comes to language,
yes,
there are some sayings in life over the past 2 decades that I've used that I have come to realize I should not be using. And I am always happy to adjust my language. And this is a little sidebar. I find that some people might be flippant about it, like, oh, who cares? It doesn't mean anything. Well, it might not mean anything to you, but it might mean something to the people who the language hurts or who the language has attached history to. So the word kibosh, as I looked it up, clean, good, no history that I'm worried about.
Okay, good. So we will continue with it then.
This alliteration is a usable alliteration. So keeping kibosh.
Okay, we're going with it.
So something that I always ask myself is whether or not the stuff that's taking up space in my house, is it something that is worth highlighting? Is it something that I am wanting to give attention to? So I find that when I'm cleaning, I'm often just moving things from place to place. And this is very much like the KonMari approach and about having too much stuff and things not having a specific place. I find I am one of those people that's just moving stuff around. So making sure that everything that you own has a proper space and the things that you use the most are most accessible, and that you're highlighting things that have like a sentimental attachment or something positive, like a positive impact on you. I'm going to throw out there that one of the best things that I have in my house to kind of keep things organized is my computer or my phone. because I have all this paperwork that used to take up space. It's now on a computer in a file or whatnot. So that's really helped for keeping organized. So I ask myself questions like, am I highlighting the things that are most important to me? Are the things that I use the most accessible? And I use the Pomodoro method. So this is kind of like the actionable piece of this. And I think about the items that, you know, are kind of just floating around. Is this recyclable? Can I gift this to someone who can find it useful? Do I use it anymore? Can I share this with someone? Can I donate it? Or do I need to throw it out? And that really helps to just change the energy of the space that you live in. And because it's the Pomodoro method, I'm setting small targets. So I'll say every day I'm going to try to do any of the recycle, gift, share, donate, throw out. And as I do this more and more, I find that I'm able to focus on the most important items that are in my house. Again, the big idea here is you don't have to clean out an entire space, you know, over one weekend and dedicate your entire life to it. Small steps, small actions, 10, 20, 30 a day, and you'll start to see really big results.
Yeah, like getting into the habit of putting things back in their place, or let's say clearing one surface a day or one surface a week, can really help with your overall organization. And it can reduce frustrations too, especially when you're trying to find something.
Yeah, if you add up all the time that you may spend looking for something in an unorganized space, that time is precious and you're just throwing it out the window. So yes, keep or kibosh, everything has its place.
Okay, let's talk food again, because I don't want to think about my lunch in the morning. Personally, I don't think about it anymore at all because, as I mentioned before, I'll do the same lunch for the whole week. So if you can find any time in your schedule, again, mine is on Sunday. I take a couple hours, make it enjoyable, and I do that food prep so that I'm not thinking about what I'm eating for breakfast or lunch, actually. I have breakfast and lunch prepped in the fridge for the whole week. So that habit is fantastic. I'll rave about that.
Like, prep it and forget it. And you make mistakes when you're choosing what you're going to eat when you're hungry. Like when you're grabbing or spending money, or you're eating something that might not be as nutritious. So I love prep it and forget it. Now, one of the things that you can do when you do prep it and forget it is you can basically make the same recipe, just change up a few things and use a different dressing. No joke, you could go Mexican, you could go Greek, you could go Italian, you could go Thai. And you just change up a few toppings and the dressing, and it's a whole new meal. You can build off of like a rice or a lettuce. Well, combine those two things and then build from there.
That is a great idea.
It's a life changer.
Okay. One more thing to eliminate decisions, and that really helps mornings run better, is to choose your outfit for the next day. I'm going to fully admit to you right now, I do not have this habit in place. I am currently working on creating a capsule wardrobe, which will help me with this. But I will say that someone who does have this in place is my daughter.
Yeah.
She has her outfit picked out for the next day every single day, and we have absolutely no issues with outfits in the morning, which is huge. It really eliminates frustration. And I do have to say that there was one of those February fun weeks, you know, where they had like plaid day and they had like their school colors day and everything.
Oh, fun.
And on Sunday, she had each outfit laid out for the entire week. I have to say, I was a little bit jealous and super proud. So it was awesome.
We have to have her on. We have to have her on and ask her what her tricks of the trade are, because it's the same as the prep it and forget it. And if you don't have a lunch, you make mistakes. Well, if you don't have everything kind of ready to go in the morning, you may not realize, oh, this shirt isn't ready to be worn. I thought that it had been washed. Or you might not have the proper shoes to go with the right pants. And I mean, these are very champagne problems. Let me be very clear. Mm-hmm. However, a morning where you're running around and you're really exhausted and you're trying to put things together, mistakes are made. And it can really set the tone for the rest of your day and create discomfort. And the reverse of that is you can choose your outfit for the next day, be really organized, and you remove that element of chaos in the morning, because it can be chaos.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of chaos in the morning at my house. And that's why I've always been looking for tips on how to be more efficient and calmer in the morning, let's say. The habits we're talking about today are going to help us start our work day, you know, feeling more prepared, which is always helpful for a teacher.
Totally.
All right, so let's review our takeaways today. And then next week, we will be talking about those habits that bring big results at work.
It's a snowball. So, you know, doing well at home, you bring that to school. You're doing well at school, you bring that home. And it's a snowball of, well, dare I say, positivity. But it's just, it picks up momentum in a good way, as opposed to kind of having big chunks of snow flying off all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, hitting all these roadblocks.
Gets you out of that snowstorm.
That's it. That's exactly it. Okay, let's do the takeaways. One.
Get some movement in your life because it is awesome.
Two, freeze and focus. Alliteration. To help strengthen important relationships in your life.
Three, keep or kibosh incoming items to reduce clutter.
Four, prep it and forget it. Make sure that you prep your food in advance. It can really save you time.
And five, pick that outfit for the next day to eliminate just one of the many decisions you make in a day. I know I'm going to try to do that.
Aspirational.
Yeah, very.
Thanks again for listening. We hope that these habits will help you to get big results in your own life. If you already have these results, then maybe you have a few seconds to give us a review or share this podcast out to others so that we can continue to connect with our fellow teachers. Join us for our next episode of EduWell when we discuss five small habits at work that equal big results. Until then,
be well
and do well.